You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Tuesday cut down day, and I decided to sneak an episode in for you all of the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. I'm Anthony Cosenza. Going to bring you a quick one. I feel like I just would not, it would not be right of me to not at least take a little bit of time here to talk about the Bengals and what they showed us on Tuesday. Happy to be with all of you. On this Tuesday evening, Tuesday afternoon for some, going to be a brief episode, but thanks for tuning in at the last minute. I thought I was maybe going to have a little bit of dad duty, but got a brief respite from that. I've got a fantasy football draft in just a little bit, so just trying to squeeze an episode in and talk some Bengals with you all. Good to be with all of you. Now, in case you missed it, this is on cincyjungle.com. This is the 53-man roster. You can find it in a lot of different areas, places, and you can see a lot of, here we go right here. I'll put the link in the live chat for all of you. So go ahead and click that. Here is the 53-man roster. Now, we say, and our fearless leader over at Cincy Jungle says, the 53-man roster is set. We use the word set pretty loosely because I tend to think, and Zach Taylor maybe hinted at in his press conference today, that he and the Bengals were maybe not going to be fully done over the next 24 hours in terms of looking at the waiver wire, seeing what they could potentially do at some different areas on their football team. Now, let's kind of go. We'll just go position by position, folks. And I know I'm already seeing a lot of stuff. By the way, good to see my good friend here. I'm going to pin that first comment on here. Nick Suberling, my good buddy and podcast guru. Nick Suberling, good to see you, buddy. Quarterbacks, I thought they were going to go light. I thought they were going to go two, and that's kind of that. Burrow's healthy, at least almost all the way healthy, so it's him, and then it's Brandon Allen. Kyle Shurmur showed some nice things in the last game. They're gonna see what they've got out of these two guys at this point, and then obviously they're going to set the practice squad and do all the things they need to do there. So before we move on to running backs, because that's another point of contention, and of course Thad Moss and all of that. That's another point that we need to always keep in mind. As Bengals fans, I've been guilty of it. I know a lot of you have as well, and I don't want to – it's okay. I'm not making fun of you, but I'm just saying there are times where we overvalue these guys that the Bengals end up releasing, and then lo and behold, they end up on the Bengals practice squad. They clear waivers, all of that kind of stuff. Thad Moss was passed on by 32 teams in the draft. And Thad Moss, was claimed by the Bengals off waivers, and he's bounced around a little bit. So that's something to keep in mind. We'll also say the same about the running backs. I was a little surprised that the Bengals only went with three running backs. You see, Mixon, Perine, and Evans. So I thought maybe they would keep potentially another running back there. I thought early in the process, I thought maybe Puka would sneak on, but injury, lack of snaps in preseason games, all of that, I didn't think that was going to be in the cards for him. I thought maybe Jacquez Patrick, who a lot of people wanted to see make the team. And hey, look, he did everything he should have done to make this team. He played well in the preseason. The guy got kind of the short end of the stick last year with the COVID situation and didn't get to use preseason last year to show off for the team. did a lot of positive things this year, showed that he's got some good moves for a bigger back. We will see what happens with him in terms of practice squad, waiver wire, all of that. But that's a guy that I would think the Bengals should have, you know, kind of a first right to get him back, I would think, because there are always a glut of running backs available. The position itself has been devalued. So I think they'll be able to sneak him on. We will see. Now, where I'm a little surprised about what the Bengals did at running back is if you look at Chris Evans, I thought maybe they would maybe go a little bit lighter at wide receiver, and then you utilize and keep a Chris Evans as kind of a swing wide receiver slash running back type of player, and then you've got another running back in there. But they didn't do that. They're good with three running backs, and they're good with seven wide receivers, and this is where I think Darren Simmons pounded the table for his special teams unit. He's assistant head coach for a reason. He runs one of the best special teams units in the NFL. He's a widely respected head coach for a reason, and it's because he gets a say on some of the back ends of these position groups to pick guys that will help out on special teams. It's not sexy. It's not, you know, these are coverage, you know, punt coverage guys. These are maybe punt return guys here and there. These are gunners, you know, guys that aren't going to maybe get into the end zone for you, at least not on a regular basis, but they're going to help out the team. And the Bengals made the decision that Trenton Irwin, Mike Thomas, and Stanley Morgan rounding out the wide receiver group and what those bring you, not only on offense, but what those three bring you on special teams is more valuable than keeping a fourth running back and a fourth running back that maybe didn't contribute as much on special teams and Patrick, or a third tight end in Thad Moss that didn't have quite the special team showing in preseason that Mitchell Wilcox did. So I think you need to kind of keep, if we're upset about Jacquez Patrick, if we're upset about Thad Moss, I understand, but I think we need to kind of keep that and the special teams aspect into the picture here while we're looking at the entire scope of the 53-man roster. Let's not forget also some of those guys could be on the practice squad and be called up later in the season. Some of those guys, there may be some movement of some of these guys. There was an injury on the defensive side of the ball of one of the players that they may make a move there and add a waiver wire addition. This doesn't quite seem like it's set. I think it's mostly set, but there may be another move or two that's going to transpire over the next, you know, now less than 24 hours as we take the air here. But that's something to really keep into perspective here. But Higgins, Chase, Boyd, Tate, Thomas, Trenton Irwin, he's the Trent who wins the battle. Trent Taylor gets waived. Reports have that the Bengals want to try and get him on the practice squad. They do value him, but it was Irwin who had a better preseason showing, did a bit more in the preseason, made tough catches, and is going to basically be a backup slot guy to Tyler Boyd. And, you know, he got some playing time late in the year last year. They really like his toughness. They really like his reliability. So he's a guy that made the team. And Stanley Morgan, they love his special teams contribution. Look, Stanley Morgan, I said this after I think it was the second preseason game. When you see him block as a wide receiver, when you see him on special teams, he does everything the coaches ask for, everything they ask of him. And he does it well. He does a lot of the dirty work, does it well. So he makes the team as the seventh wide receiver. To round out the skill positions, and then we'll move on to offensive linemen. Again, Wilcox makes it over Thad Moss. Wilcox had a higher special teams PFF grade, tip of the cap to my counterpart there, Jake Liskow of Locked On Bengals. I believe it was him who brought that to our attention on Twitter. Wilcox with the higher special teams PFF score by about 30 points, if I remember correctly, throughout the preseason. So yeah, that's ultimately what wins there. Mitchell Wilcox also has a bit of height and size over Thad Moss as a tight end. So that all needs to be taken into account. And Mitchell Wilcox did show quite, you know, at his time at South Florida, did show some pass catching ability, his ability to get into the end zone. I think he had 6 touchdowns his final year there. So there's probably some upside there. They like him. He was an undrafted free agent last year. And another guy who maybe benefited from a full training camp, a full preseason, as opposed to last year when he was scrambling to make the roster and didn't get as much of an audition. offensive linemen, this is where some of the surprises took place. Yesterday, the Bengals decided to deal Billy Price for a conditional seventh round pick and BJ Hill. We'll talk more about that in just a second. And we talked about that on the water cooler chat yesterday, but they dealt him, a guy who ended up showing an improved style of play under Frank Pollock, and they were able to move him. They didn't have long-term plans for him, and kudos to the Bengals. If they were going to cut him, they found a trade partner and got something out of it, and got something out of it on the defensive line, which is always a helpful area to shore up your team for sure. So they did that. The other big move was cutting Michael Jordan. Now, a lot of people thought he could have been on the roster bubble this entire time. It was just a little surprising for me because he had starter snaps in practices, in preseason, all of that. And at the time, we said this is probably one of two routes and reasons why they're going this way. It's either number one, they feel that he is showing enough improvement as a guard to warrant him getting starter snaps. And there's a couple of unknowns with Suofilo and Jackson Carman and all these other guys there. They like Quentin Spain at the left guard spot. The other mindset was that they're going to give him every opportunity to try and stick on the roster. They're going to try and give him every opportunity and every look against other team starters and whatnot to see how he performs. To his credit, he did play some of the best ball, pro football of his career. It just wasn't enough. So we'll see where he ends up on things after, you know, the next 24 hours. But Jonah Williams, Quentin Spain, Trey Hopkins. This is also, while it's bittersweet news that the Bengals have to give up on two former high or high-ish picks in Billy Price and Mike Jordan of recent years, it also points to the really good health and really good news around Trey Hopkins, right? So I think Billy Price would have been a commodity they would have hung on to had they not believed that Trey Hopkins was going to be ready to go and play at a high level right away. So that is, there's at least a silver lining there. Suofilo appears to be the starting right guard for this team. Riley Reiff, the starting right tackle. You've got Fred Johnson, a guy who could play either tackle position in a pinch. Deontay Smith, a developmental guy, but a guy who seems to be developing very quickly, especially at guard. Really high pass blocking grades in the preseason, a guy that may take over one of those guard spots this year, or maybe, you know, Quentin Spain's on a one-year rental deal. Suofilo kind of has a team opt-out type of situation after this year. So, you know, I think the Bengals are probably going with Spain and Suofilo for the majority, if not all of this year, as their guard starters, with the idea that Smith and Carman may be the guards of the future. So, we will see. Smith may also end up being a right tackle of the future. That's where I initially had him pegged for. But at this point, they seem to really like what they're seeing out of him from at guard. Trey Hill, their day three pick from this year out of Georgia, makes the team. They like what they see out of him. And is Isaiah Prince, a guy that not a lot of people figured would make the roster, ends up making the team. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, if I'm counting correctly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There it is right there. 10 offensive linemen on the team that make the roster. Now you look at the defensive lineman Hubbard, BJ Hill. Now BJ Hill was a former day two pick of the Giants, and it was kind of a one team's, I don't like to use the word trash, but what, you know, is another team's treasure in terms of BJ Hill and Billy Price. Both teams found willing trade partners for guys that were likely not going to make their respective rosters, and they made a move. BJ Hill is a guy that's got a, you know, a handful of sacks in a handful of years. He's been a rotational guy, got some pressures. He's a movable piece on that defensive line, and a guy that they think can do some things in a rotation up front. And unfortunately, with his arrival came Mike Daniels' departure. And that's a little bit of a surprise, but I think if this move was not made, Mike Daniels, you'd be seeing him on the final roster here. Not the case. Unfortunately, Personal favorite of mine. He was great to our show. He's been on our show about three times or something like that. Really, really like him. The fans really loved him. And, you know, it's hard to see him go, but obviously this was a business decision. Sam Hubbard playing some of, playing really good football in preseason and limited snaps after signing that contract. So, you know, he's part of their big plans going forward. Reader looking really, really good coming back from his injury. Ogunjobi, looked pretty good in practices and preseason after being out for a little bit there. Hendrickson looked pretty good as well. Tupou made a lot of plays and just is a massive human being. And then you've got Darius Hodge, preseason hero. My hope, I said this on another show, Strawberry Sports with Strawberry Ice. Go check that out. Good channel. Great guy, Jeff Tranapole there. I said this earlier today that I just hope Darius Hodge isn't one of those guys that absolutely lights up the preseason and then you rely on him for a role in the regular season. And it's just not the same as he's going up against more starting caliber offensive linemen, more diverse offensive schemes. But hey, credit him. He played his butt off in preseason, played very, very well, was one of the best players on the Bengals team in preseason, and he deserved this spot. Let's just hope that he can be part of a committee to help make up the loss for Joseph Osai.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Speaking of the committee that does that, Khalid Kareem had an outstanding start to the Miami game, but unfortunately looks like he's dealing with an injury. Zach Taylor kind of did the, we expect him back at some point this season. Okay. Not really sure what that means, but there could be an IR return type of situation with that. And then there may be a little bit of a shuffling there, and you may see another player on this team here. But all of a sudden, you got the Bengals invested heavily at edge rusher this year, And really the past couple of years now, what was one of their deepest groups, you've got Osai done for the year, you've got Wyatt Hubert done for the year, Cam Sample was nicked up earlier in the year, Khalid Kareem now dealing with an issue. So, I mean, the team overall is one of the healthiest it's been going into the regular season, which is awesome, but some of these spots are starting to get a little concerning. So, and then Cam Sample, one of the better preseason players as well, a guy that can be a movable piece up front, and Tyler Shelvin, more big beef up front. So the Bengals are, they're diverse up front in terms of what they can do and guys they can move around, but they've, between Shelvin, between Tupo, between Reader, they've got three guys that I specifically think those are three players that are specifically going to be effective against a team like Baltimore, who, oh, by the way, a team who loves to run the ball with a bunch of different players, lost J.K. Dobbins for the year this last weekend. So defensive line looking in pretty good shape at this point for the Bengals. Linebackers pretty predictable here. The three rookies from last year make it: Logan Wilson, Jermaine Pratt, Akeem Davis-Gaither, Jordan Evans, and Marcus Bailey are the five that they keep there. The Bengals aren't going to go with a ton of three or four linebacker sets. They're going to go pretty heavy on the defensive line. They're going to go pretty heavy in the defensive backfield and go from there. So I think there's not too many surprises there. Big year for Jermaine Pratt. Big year for Logan Wilson, for sure, who had a couple of nice plays in preseason. Big year for Jermaine Pratt, though, in terms of development and what they need him to show going forward. Cornerbacks, Wayne's dealing with the hamstring injury, maybe out the first couple of games. We'll see what happens there. Hopefully he can return for that opener and play against his former team. Wouzier was arguably the best player in camp and, you know, in limited snaps. He's been playing awesome for the Bengals. Hilton, Apple, Phillips, and Jalen Davis gets on the final roster here. Six corners for the Bengals. Obviously, you're feeling better about things when Waynes is in there healthy and starting. But, you know, you've got Waynes, a former first-round pick. Awuzie, I believe, is a former second-round pick. Apple, former first-round pick. So, I mean, you've got some talent there and some bigger names in there. You know, Waynes, he's got to get on the field and start playing. That contract's starting to get a little dicey. But we'll see. We'll see. Safeties, this is what I kind of was predicting this as well. Here's the thing with Ricardo Allen. He's a guy who has played slot, corner, and safety. So he's one of those guys, I think, obviously has ties to Lou Anarumo as well. He's one of those guys, I think, that can kill two roster birds with one stone, so to speak. You know, he's going to be the guy that can move around a little bit and provide a little bit of flexibility and allow Von Bell to do what he does best. I think earlier in the year last year, Von Bell was asked to do maybe a little too much, especially in deep coverage. I think as you play him closer to the line of scrimmage, you don't have him cover some of these deep passes against, you know, really highly athletic, either, you know, wide receivers, tight ends, that sort of thing. I think if you let him, you know, kind of roam the short areas of the field, you let Jesse Bates play a little more center field, and then you have a guy like Ricardo Allen that's kind of a swing type of guy. Remember Chris Crocker? They had him do a lot of that stuff. He was kind of a slot corner, a safety. He kind of did a lot of that stuff. Maybe Ricardo Allen will be doing a little bit of the similar things to Chris Crocker. We'll see. Brandon Wilson, another guy that's a backup safety and obviously very valuable as a kick returner. So those are the safeties. And then you got the Rook. The Rook took the kicking job as a specialist. Kevin Huber hangs on to it. Drew Chrisman never really made it to competition because of an injury, but you would think that they probably want to keep him around and maybe a practice squad candidate, and then maybe he supplants Huber in the next year or so. And then you've got Thor, Clark Harris, with that beautiful mane of hair. Clark Harris, the long snapper, the mainstay there. So that's your roster at this point right now. And there are some questions, and here's the, I think we have the quote here from, yeah, I'll share this. It's not necessarily a direct quote from Zach Taylor, but I mentioned it a little bit. Basically, this is from Ben Baby of ESPN, and this is on CincyJungle.com, essentially saying, Zach Taylor said, since Khalid Kareem didn't go on IR, the team does expect him to return at some point this season. Okay. Well, I don't know exactly what that means and when, but we'll take your word for it, Zach. Look, I think the Bengals are not done at this point in terms of doing some different things. It may not be super splashy. I think there was a move, if you remember, in Zach Taylor's first year. I think Perine was one of the guys that they brought in. And then, Farrell Cooper was a guy that bounced on and off the team, I think, at the final minute. Last year, Mike Daniels was a late addition, not final cuts, but he was a late addition to the team. So, I think the team may look at some offensive line help in the form of someone who has guard tackle experience or maybe center guard experience. I think edge rusher and a versatile piece up front is maybe someone they may look at. Who knows? Maybe wide receiver, maybe on the discussion. If they don't feel good about Trey Waynes, maybe another corner out there to help bolster things. Maybe that's something they look at. I don't know. But I think, when we're talking about being upset about a third tight end spot, and we're talking about being upset about a fourth running back spot, we seem to be in a much, much better situation talent wise. And the Bengals seem to be in a much better spot talent wise and depth wise when we have those types of conversations rather than questions about the starting quarterback that date back just about 2 years ago. Right. Questions about certain wide receiver depth that was a couple of years ago and who's going to rush the passer and, how are they going to stop the run, all of these. And now some of those areas you feel a lot better about at this point than you did maybe even as soon as last year, obviously not talking about quarterback and stuff, but some of those other position groups, you know who I'm talking about. We had some concerns going into this year. There are still some question marks, but I think those are, at least from my vantage point, those are a lot less concerning at this point than they were maybe a year ago or so. Bengals really, really tried to shore up depth. Unfortunately, while they've largely been healthy to this point, unfortunately, the injury bug has hit the edge rusher part of their roster a little bit at cornerback, but I think they're going to be okay. It's just a matter of how quickly can some of these young players mature. I think I saw my co-host John Sheeran say something, or maybe it was Matt Minnick, saying they only got five players over the age of 30 on the roster at this point in time, and I'd need to look here in terms of the 53-man roster. Not a lot of Marvin Lewis guys on this roster. I think you can go, you could say Joe Mixon. You could say Auden Tate, CJ Uzomah, Trey Hopkins, Sam Hubbard, Tupo. Bates, and then this Harrison Huber. So this is Zach Taylor's roster. He's got his thumbprints on it, and this has to be a year wherein he and the team shows marked improvement. Has to. Now, what that means and what ownership will accept or won't accept, I don't know. But this has to be a year where the team shows marked improvement and does some things and really, really increases their win total from the past couple of seasons. Here's a good one from Blackthorn there. And good to hear from him on Twitter, too. Appreciate you reaching out and always interacting. Rennell Wren was a guy that I really liked in that draft class, and health wise, developmental wise, just has not taken that next step. It's unfortunate. He's got all the physical tools there that he may be a guy that they're able to keep around or do something with here, but he is no longer on that team, and a guy that he's a physical specimen. It just, they were never able to kind of, at least to this point, harness it. And, hopefully they, who they have can come in there and do some things. But man, some of those draft classes from 2018, I mean, John Ross before that, John Ross, not on the team, your first round pick, a top 10 pick, Billy Price, not on the team. You know, you can go into, I think there's only a few players left from the 2019 draft, which was Zach Taylor's first draft where they had all those picks. And I think there's only what, three or four players left on the roster from that specific class. And that's just a couple of years ago. So this draft class needs to start stepping up. Neither of the offensive linemen they drafted in rounds two or four at this point are starting offensive linemen. So, you know, they've got contributors on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase is a big part of their plan. They're number five overall pick, but, you know, they got to get more out of this draft class for sure. That's going to do it, because we're going to talk a lot more tomorrow on the Orange and Black Insider with John Sheeran and myself about the roster, about what we think about it and all kinds of different things. But wanted to update all of you as to some recent happenings. I'm sure there's going to be some more news and everything coming down the pike for the Bengals. And we say final roster, but it's not really final until a day or so after. But it kind of came in a flurry in terms of the news and everything. Wanted to get that all out to you, and obviously want to take the air and talk about it a little bit. We are going to do our show. We're going to try and do a big roundtable show with the guys from Orange is the New Black, Ace and Zim, and Matt Minnick to do a mega show at the end of this week to talk more about the roster and all kinds of different things and what we think about the team going forward there. But wanted to get this to you, and hopefully you enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, enjoy the rest of your week. We do have a special interview coming up down the pike. Can't tell you too much about it quite yet, but we will have a special interview coming at you probably next week, which we're pretty excited about. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. In the meantime, subscribe to our YouTube channel. I think the icon is right there. Click that and subscribe. Turn on the bell to be notified when we go live, when new material is available. And of course, go on your favorite audio streamer, find the Cincy Jungle podcast channel, subscribe to it so you can listen to our show, Orange and Black Insider. You can listen to Orange is the New Black with Ace and Zim, Chalk Talk with Matt Minnick. All that stuff is on our podcast channel and available for you. So appreciate everybody. Take it easy. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Wish me luck on my fantasy football draft. I definitely need it. I'm so feast or famine in fantasy football. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Keep it to Cincy Jungle for all the news, opinions, analysis, and everything regarding the final roster. Take it easy, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.